Blessed be the name of the Lord. Well, you came to the right place, or one of the right places, the right place for you this morning, because that's His desire. And He wants to fill us much more than we want to be filled, but He gives us that desire, a painful desire, and He satisfies. So we're thankful for that this morning. Thank you, musicians. God bless you. Nice to be back together once again, Certainly surprised seeing our brother Dale and Sister Joanna this morning. God bless you. It's nice to have you with us. You should have said, maybe that's why you didn't, but you should have said that you were going to be here, because then you'd be here and I'd be there. And I'd rather be there than here, but praise the Lord. Blessed be His wonderful name. Well, let's read two places in the scripture here this morning, from Matthew, just one verse, from Matthew 5, verse 6, and then from Luke, the 11th chapter, verses 9 through 13. Matthew, chapter 5, and verse 6. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for the world. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst for McDonald's. It's not even a promise there, is there? Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. For it's possible, if they cross their fingers and it's a full moon and they click their heels together and say there's no place like home, for they shall be filled. I love God's word. It's amen and amen. You can rest. You can rest on it. You can count on it. You can depend on it. It's not moody. It's not weather dependent, but it's amen and amen. Again, from Luke, the 11th chapter, starting at the 9th verse. And I say unto you, ask, and it might be given to you. It shall be given to you. Seek, and it's possible that you'll find. You shall find. Knock, and it shall be opened unto you. Amen. For everyone that asketh, receiveth. Amen. And he that seeketh, findeth. Amen. And to him that knocketh, it shall be opened. Amen. If a son shall ask bread of any of you that is a father, will he give him a stone? Of course not. Or if he ask a fish, will he for a fish give him a serpent? Mike, yeah? What's the answer to that? Or if he shall ask an egg, will he offer him a scorpion? If he lives in Tucson, he might. If you then, being evil, know how to give good gifts unto your children, how much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that just believe? Well, that's the new version of it these days. I think Jesus, this was before 33 AD. How much more shall your heavenly Father give the Holy Spirit to them that ask Him? Everything in our walk, they're promised, but we're told to ask. And it shall be given. Right? Let it be done in this, on earth as it is in heaven. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. How many have a need this morning? You'd like to make it known with an uplifted hand. Father, we're a needy people. Our hands are up and we're not bashful. We don't feel unworthy, and we also don't feel embarrassed, Lord, to make our requests known. It's your good pleasure to give us the things of the kingdom, and it's all for your honor and for your glory and for your purpose and for your will. Father, there are many needs here in the body this morning, and those that are listening in, those that perhaps might listen in. Lord, we just ask that you would move upon each and every need as they're made known with an uplifted hand. And Father, that your will would be done here on the earth as it is in heaven. Father, we love you so much. We thank you for this opportunity to worship you, to praise you, to gather together with those of like precious faith on this fine resurrection morning. And Father, we ask that you would speak to our hearts this morning. And we know that, Lord, that you've put on our heart a little series that we don't do it very often. But Lord, when you put it on our hearts, we certainly want to be obedient. We know that there are needs for the Holy Ghost this morning, Lord, that you've promised it. And there are those that have been baptized and are candidates, Lord. And there are those that perhaps maybe have never heard the true teaching on it. And we know that whatever we believe is based on what we're taught. And Lord, so we're asking that you'd speak to our hearts this morning, Lord, that Father, that you give us the unction both to speak and also to hear. Lord, that you would take what we hear and that you would teach it to us, Lord, and then manifest it in our lives, we pray. And Father, I pray that there just be a great outpouring amongst us. Father, we know that you promised it, and we know that you cannot lie, and we're not presuming this morning, and we're not giving in to some kind of a hit and miss mentality, but your word is amen and amen. And Lord, it's a privilege to take you at your word. It's a privilege to believe you. And Lord, it's an honor to stand before your people this morning, the redeemed of the blood washed, redeemed sons and daughters of God. Lord, the ones that you paid the price for, the ones that you are bringing back to yourselves and to yourself. And Lord, we just ask that you'd have your way this morning. And whatever our needs are, Lord, we're looking for you to meet those needs. And we're asking, Lord, that you'd help us to just set this aside this time and not get anxious and not let our minds drift here or there, but to be focused upon your word so that you'll speak to our hearts, Lord, and then you'll perform your good word in each and every life, Lord. We're in great expectation. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen, amen. You may be seated. So last Wednesday we looked at what is the Holy Ghost, and we saw that it's the very life of Spirit God. It's Father God sent back to the church to live in the church here on the earth. And we saw that it's joy, that it's peace, that it's rest, that it's the comforter, that it's the guide. It's the Spirit of truth. It's our advocate. It's your new birth. It's the quickening life. It's the gift of God. It's power, it's anointing, it's resurrection, it's a seal that shows on both sides, it's a token that shows that a required price has been paid, and it's evidence that God has recognized your faith as he gave Abraham a sign of circumcision. Abraham said he believed God, and then God observed, and then God said, yes, you do. And he gave him that sign. So, and it's eternal life. It's a promise. It's a gift to those that repent and believe. And it's everything that God said that it was. And this morning we want to examine by the scriptures what the Holy Ghost was given for. And we're following the same pattern that Brother Branham followed back in 1959, in December of 1959, when he preached this short little series in four services. So tonight we'll take it a step further, but we want to look at what is the purpose of receiving the Holy Spirit, and why do I need the Holy Spirit in my life, and what will it do for me when I receive it, and what does it do for me that I can't do myself, and does every believer in Christ need to receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And as we said on Wednesday, just to kind of set the stage here once again, we recognize that a new generation of believers has raised up since we last taught on this. And I believe the last time we did teach on it was in a series like this was in 2009. And so that's been, you know, 13, 14 years ago, depending on when it exactly when it was. And of course, we taught on it, and those that were seeking, they received the Holy Ghost. And we believe that you should get what you teach. If it's inspired by the Word of God. And then also we know that many have joined our fellowship in the last few years, and they might have been taught differently on this perhaps. And you say, well, what difference does it make and how you're taught? Well, we'll get into that here a little bit, because we have some scriptural examples of that as well. And so this evening we want to look at, for just a little period of time, we want to look at how do I receive it, and how will I know when I got it, and then we're going to lay hands on those that want to receive it, and some of us will stay with those that are ready to receive, and we'll just tell you right now, those that are hungering and thirsting for life and are taking God at His word, they're going to receive that promised life because He said so. And others are going to receive a refilling of the Holy Spirit, as He also promised to do for His church. So we won't be streaming the service tonight, and I apologize to any visitors here this morning, because this is something that we're teaching our local church, and this is something that we're focusing on for our local church. And so we're not trying to differ with anybody or... But this is just what the Lord's put on our heart for this local body. So we're not going to be streaming the service, but we will make a recording of the service available to the church afterwards, you know, of the preaching of the word, of course. And we recognize that in doing so, we recognize that there are many teachings out there on this subject. And we're not going over this so that we can fuss with somebody, so that we're equipped to disagree. And we're not trying to be disagreeable. And I don't care what other people teach or what they think. I'm just responsible for what the Lord has put on my heart for this local body. And we are teaching what we believe to be the truth from God's word. This is a promise from God's word. So any teaching on it would have to come from God's word. And we want your confidence to only be in God's word. And also according to the message of the hour, which is light shining on that word, of course. And if we preach it by revelation from the Bible, then God is obligated to bring it into manifestation among us. If we preach divine healing and there's a need for healing in the body, and you take Him at His word, we will see divine healing. So we preach salvation and there's a need for salvation, we will see salvation. So when you receive the Holy Ghost, then you can say, as Peter did, that this is that that was spoken of by the prophet Joel. So we don't believe, this is us personally now, we don't believe that there's a more important teaching than this for the follower of Christ. Because without this, you won't go in the rapture. Without this, you won't overcome. Without this, you will struggle. And we know that it was promised to be restored to the church at the end time, just before the coming of the Lord and the resurrection and the rapture of the church. Brother Branham took a series on this, as I said before, from December 16th through December 19th in 1959, which just coincidentally, I don't believe in coincidences, but it was just 3 weeks before I was born. And it's something that's near and dear to my heart, and it's something that I've had to stand on. I actually was taking a stand on this before I received the Holy Ghost. And I got around. I just couldn't wait to get around people that believe this message. And I ran into Message Baptists right away. that said, well, you believe God sent a prophet, don't you? Yeah, well, then you got it. Or you believe that Jesus is the Son of God. Well, then you got it. And, well, the devil believes that Jesus is the Son of God, and he certainly don't got it. So that was what was missing in my life. I've been a Christian since I was 6 years old, and I went 22 years without any kind of overcoming power that was promised, without the joy, without the peace, without the revelation of Jesus Christ to me personally. I believed in God. I prayed. I had prayers that were answered, but I felt like a servant and not a son. When this became real to me, it was one of the first things that was revealed to me. Well, then that's what I was interested in. And as I was seeking, I ran into all kinds of other ideas, even amongst our own move, which, you know, there's a mixed multitude that goes with every revival, so that's not a surprise. But I had to fight for this. And I've found that if you take a stand on the word, you will be criticized. If you take a stand on the word, you'll be misunderstood. And in our own ranks, a lot of times you will be, I was told by a pastor a few years back, well, Brother Doug, you can't hold on to Pentecost and take the message of the hour. And I thought, you know, somebody needs to sit down and teach you what Pentecost is. Because it's not an organization, it's not speaking in tongues, but it's the person of the Lord Jesus Christ making himself real to you. So you came too late to tell me that. So Brother Branham reminded us that the Holy Ghost was the theme of every apostle. And later, when he preached the message, the token, if you ever have listened to the token messages, he preached it a few times, but he said, when he preached that message, he said, if there was ever a message, he said, I've been waiting to bring this. And he said, this is the most important message that I've brought. And he reconfirmed that you must have that life or you're not going in the rapture. And he said the message, the token, was one of the most important messages to the end time church that he ever preached. And people will say, well, that's just Pentecost or people that say that, what's your attitude towards sanctification? Do we still need that? Well, that's just sanctification. Well, of course, it isn't the theme, but you still need to be sanctified. Well, that's just justification. Well, try to get there without being justified. It's not the theme, but it's a part of it. You can't skip a rung on the ladder. Meanwhile, the devil continues to do what he has always done in every age, which is to fight against this truth and to try to sow seeds of confusion and fear and doubt and get people to go overboard this way, get people to go overboard that way, because he knows that if you ever do get that life, he's sealed out. He can't touch you, right? Until the day of your redemption. And he knows that you will stay with that word. And you will take that word, and that word will discern that Antichrist spirit. And you will, as a result, withstand that Antichrist spirit that has been discerned, and Satan will be absolutely thwarted. And he knows it. So he'll convince some that it's no longer necessary. That's how I was raised. It was just for the early church, and it was just for the apostles and the book of Acts. And he'll get some to believe that it's a sensation or an emotion, and that's all there is to it, or that is it. And he will get some to remain lukewarm and keep them dead and powerless. And they'll say, but I believe that Jesus was the Son of God. But he will never, ever, ever keep those whose names are written on the Lamb's Book of Life from receiving this life. Amen. They will hear from their theophany. Amen. in an angelic visitation. And they will pass from death unto life. And they will become new creatures in Christ Jesus. And they will give Christ the word, the preeminence in their life. And they will take on the very mind of Christ. And they will do what they are shown to do. As he said, I do only the will of my Father. You will only do the will of God. Amen. So as has happened on several occasions, and we hesitate to say this, we shouldn't be nervous about these things, but we know that, you know, there's two ditches and there's always a car over in this ditch and a car over in that ditch. And we're so nervous about that. We don't want to be in one of those ditches. And so we hesitate a lot of times to talk about the supernatural because in one ditch they'll say, well, you're trying to take something away from Brother Branham. It's like, well, wouldn't it be complimentary to his ministry if the things that he preached actually happened? How does that take away? The things that he taught us actually happen? Another one would say, well, who are you trying to make yourself, or what are you trying to say? And we know that people will take things and, you know, cabbage down on them or try to use them as a vindication. But that's not why we're telling you. We're telling you because it happened. And because it's scriptural. So, as has happened on several other occasions, on Wednesday night, a pillar of fire was seen over here on my left side. And that's happened for public math is difficult, about 30 years. When I've never seen it, but I always feel its presence, or feel a presence anyway. But some people can actually see certain things, and my wife is one of those, and so she saw it. It was kind of a reddish color, and you could see through it, and it was right over here. And so when it first started happening, I started asking my wife. I would feel the presence, and I would ask my wife, well, what was I saying? Because if I was saying the right thing, I want to know what that was, you know, because it doesn't just happen just any time, you know. And every time, without fail, it's when we're talking about him. Without fail. And Brother Branham said when he comes, when you talk about him, right? Evil spirits will come if you talk about them too. Did you ever tell ghost stories when you were a kid and then you wonder why you couldn't sleep that night? Yeah, it's because you invited devils. Sure. So, so I asked my wife, I said, well, so when did you see that? And she said, it was right towards the beginning. And you said, you must have the Holy Ghost or you won't go in the rapture. Right. And several other things, there are those here that are going to receive it and so on. And then two others let me know separately that they saw lights appear on my left side, on the very same side, as they also had seen on other occasions. And I'm interested in what was being said when these things happen. And we know that these things happen for the Gentile church many times for the things that they said, right? We read in the New Testament, for this saying, then this happened, right? For that saying, this happened. Sister Hattie Wright, she said a certain thing, and because of that, this happened, right? So we want to say the right thing, whatever it might be. A minister, a brother here, saw a faith bank up here. So why do I tell you? Because Satan fights this, what we're trying to teach, what we're trying to bring at this particular moment in time, as he was fighting it when Brother Branham was teaching on it, and there was an interruption in the service and whatever. Well, he's desperate. He knows that if he can keep you from that life, just keep you, you know, a good church member, then you'll have a form of godliness, but no power. So we tell you these things only because they happened, and you attend here regularly. You know that we don't tell you these things very often, but they are scriptural, and we don't rely on them. We rely on the Word. So before we get into our lesson this morning, first of all, I'm going to just warn you ahead of time that we might be a little lengthy this morning because I've got a little bit of ground to cover, and I'm not trying to keep you longer, but I do want to cover this morning just because it's your faith in the Word that brings the promises to. It's us taking God at His Word. We are Abraham's seed, and Abraham believed God. And God did what He said He was going to do. But Abraham had to believe God. And we want you to believe God. We want you to take Him at His Word. What an honor it is and a privilege it is to take God at His Word, to believe Him. So, we've had many experiences over the years when it comes to receiving the Holy Ghost and experiences with different ones. And we've had some that would seek once a year, or they would seek whenever we would visit their church, which wasn't often. They'd be sad, seemingly, because nothing would happen. And it's because they weren't sold out, right? I mean, if you're just going to seek once a year, you don't really want it. Right? There has to be a desire there, right? And before anybody, I don't believe that we ought to be eternal seekers, so I'm not pushing that at all, right? When you believe, it's just like divine healing. As we've taught the church many times, like with divine healing, don't seek some physical manifestation of your healing. Seek the faith. Yes. Say, God, give me the faith to believe for my healing. And when you believe, it may happen right then, it may happen a little bit later, it may happen next week or whatever, but to you, it's a done deal. Because you believe, and that's what's required for you to receive, right? And so if you've met God's requirement for the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and you believe, well, you're going to receive the Holy Ghost. But you see, this whole walk is a walk of faith. And faith only comes by hearing the Word of God. And so we want to be sure to do our very best to always point you to the Word and then preach it by inspiration so that you receive the revelation. Not education, but inspiration. Because God is the one that made the promise. And if you believe in Him and you take Him at His Word, God can't lie. So we want your confidence always to be in Him. And so if we can get you to believe Him, well, then you will see Him fulfill His Word in your life. And He will make Himself known to you personally in the baptism of the Holy Ghost. And, you know, one of the mysteries that Brother Branham said was that was revealed in this last hour was the baptism of the Holy Ghost without sensation. Many will take that and you know, just with like with anything else, and they'll misapply it or misconstrue it or whatever. And so they'll say, well, if you get the Holy Ghost there, you won't have a sensation. That's not what he was teaching. There's an outer realm. There's an inner realm. You can get the Holy Ghost on your flesh and still go to hell. You can get the Holy Ghost on your spirit and get all lovey-dovey until you get out in the parking lot and start running everybody down. That is the Holy Ghost that was on you, right? But if it ever comes into that soul, it's a whole different thing. And in your soul, there's no sensation. In your soul, there's faith. In your soul, you believe. You just know. It just drops in there. He just becomes real to you. So there's no sensation there, right? But if you're a human being, chances are you're gonna sense his presence, well, right? But you can sense the presence of a devil, right? And you can sense the presence of the Lord and not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. So, what was the purpose of God sending to us the Holy Spirit? John 14. Verse 14, Brother Branham used these scriptures. I want to just follow in this pattern that he laid out for us. Jesus said, if you ask anything in my name, I'll do it. If you love me, keep my commandments. Now, when we were walking in justification and in sanctification, our interpretation of that was, well, I better keep his commandments because I want him to know that I love him. And so I'm just going to, and if I don't, then I guess that means I don't love him. Really, what this means is if you do love him, meaning that you're his, you will keep his commandments. And I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever. Even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not. Now, in the Greek, it actually means does not understand him. Neither knoweth him, but you know him, for he dwelleth with you and shall be in you. But you won't know it. I will not leave you comfortless. I will come to you. Yet a little while, and the world seeth me no more, but you see me. Because I live, you shall live also. At that day, Brother Branham said, that day is this day. You shall know, not hope, not wonder, not probat. You shall know that I am in my Father, and that you are in me, and I'm in you. He that hath my commandments and keepeth them, he it is that loveth me. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father. Friends, if he's dwelling in you, Christ the Word, you'll keep his word. Amen. Or he won't dwell in you. And he that loveth me shall be loved of my Father, and I will love him and will manifest myself to him. But I'll keep it a secret and he won't know it. Listen, you get around somebody that's got a lion spirit on them, you know that you can discern that spirit. You can pick it up. You don't have to even be a Christian. You see that green cloud? Where does the time go? Right? Well, how about the great spirit? The Holy Spirit of God. Judas saith unto him, not Iscariot, Lord, how is it that thou wilt manifest thyself unto us and not unto the world? Jesus answered and said unto him, if a man loves me, he will keep my words. Notice, you'll just do that. Well, because you're born again of the Spirit of God, you're a part of that word. You're a believer. In the soul, you're no longer a doubter. You have one sense, and it's faith, and you believe God. So the soul now is sinless. He will keep my words, and my Father will love him and will come unto him and make our abode with him. This sounds like multiple gods, but it's not. He that loveth me not keepeth not my sayings. And the word which you hear is not mine, but the Father's which sent me. So he's trying to say there, look, this isn't some humanistic thing. This is coming from the eternities. These things have I spoken unto you, being yet present with you. But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom my Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you. So, in teaching you all things, teach you whatever has been revealed in your day. Because you're never going to know all things. But he'll teach you all things concerning your day and your message. And bring all things to your remembrance. Isn't that wonderful? Whatsoever I have said unto you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives. Give I unto you. Let not your heart be troubled. So it's a matter of the heart. Neither let it be afraid. So Jesus said, at that day, you shall know that I'm in my Father. You are in me, and I'm in you. We know that God sent his Spirit to the church so that he could dwell in the church and he could continue his work in the church through Christ. John 14:12, verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. And greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. And of course, Brother Branham said the more correct translation of that from the Greek into the English is instead of greater works, more. Because what's greater than what he already did? But it's more, because it's in a many-membered body. But it's the same one doing the same work, now in a many-membered body. So before we go any further, we just want to point out that it's not three different gods, but it's the same God in three offices. It was Spirit God, God the Father above us in the Old Testament. It was God with us in his Son, Jesus Christ, which was God condescending. And now it's God in us by the baptism of the Holy Ghost. But it's the same God. Philip said, Lord, show us the Father. And Jesus shook his head and said, have I been with you all this time and you don't know me? Know me who? The Father. He said, if you've seen me, you've seen the Father. Because it's that very same Spirit that was dwelling in him. In him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily, we understand. It was the Spirit given without measure. The same one that walked with Adam in the garden. The same one that appeared to Moses in the burning bush. That appeared in the pillar of fire. The same one that led the children of Israel. The same one that took on flesh. That was born of a virgin. The same one that the Spirit departed from and went to the cross, then went down to hell. The same one raised him up on the third day. The same one that appeared to Paul on the road to Damascus. The same one that appeared again in the upper room on the day of Pentecost. The same one now desires to dwell in you in measure and partner with you to finish his work. And no man will glory. It'll be Christ in you, the hope of glory. So if he's living in you, friends, they'll make fun of him. And Brother Branham made that distinction. They're not making fun of you. And we build complexes and what have you. Don't do that. It's not you that's being laughed at, despised, chuckled at. It's not you that's being called a baby Pentecostal or what have you, because you believe that he still reveals himself and leads and guides and baptizes in the Holy Ghost. If he's living in you, it's him that's being despised. It's him that's being laughed at. It's him that's being mocked. It's always been that way. It always will be that way. But it's him that's going to do the work in you. Oh, it's more than worth it. So we know that the church was foreshadowed by Ruth the Moabite in the Old Testament. We know that, just for the sake of time, we just want to touch these things, kind of hit some of the high points. But I want to illustrate a few things here this morning. We know that Ruth decided to go with her mother-in-law Naomi when her husband died, and when Orpha's her husband died and Naomi's husband died, so Naomi's going back into the land of the promise, and Ruth decides, Orpha decides to stay where she's at, but Ruth decides, your people will be my people, your God will be my God, what you eat will be what I eat, and your customs will be she was just happy to be saved. Right, so this was her walk of justification. She decided, not really knowing what was ahead of her completely, but there was a hunger and a thirst down inside her that she didn't fully understand, and she was following that as she's being drawn and led of it, and because there was a purpose in her life. She said, I won't turn back. She made that decision. And there was a purpose of God that was to be fulfilled in her life. And what I love about this story so much, first of all, Ruth foreshadowed you, so she's your shadow. And you are the expression of what the shadow showed us was yet to come. She was foreshadowing the bride of Jesus Christ. There was a purpose, and there were things that were going to be done and lived out, and she couldn't mess it up. Even in the very beginning, she didn't understand it. She didn't have a clear picture of it, but she couldn't mess it up. She perfectly fulfilled her purpose that God had placed her there for. And she was hungering. There was a hunger. There was a desire for that to be fulfilled in her life, even though she didn't know exactly what it was from the very beginning. When you gave your heart to the Lord, you had no idea. When I gave my heart to the Lord, I just wanted to be saved. I was convicted of my sin. I was convicted of our sinful nature. I didn't want to go to hell. I believed that Jesus was my Savior. I wanted to give my heart to Him. And that's all that I knew about. And at that time, that was enough. I wanted to be forgiven of my sins. I didn't want to go to hell, right? But I had no idea. But yet there was still a hunger and a thirst for more. And I didn't really know what that more was. But the one that was drawing me drew me into that. And now I can look back and see things that I couldn't see when I was looking forward, as I was going forward, if you understand what I'm saying. So the purpose of God, in other words, in your life, must likewise be fulfilled, just as it was with Ruth. And we find Ruth in the next stage of her journey. We find her gleaning in the field. We find her working her way through sanctification. We find that Boaz observes her, points her out, and she finds favor with Boaz, and because of her character, because of the way she's conducting herself, which is a type of the work of sanctification that takes place in our lives. And we see how the law of redemption was being fulfilled through Boaz as her near kinsman. We see that Boaz was confessing her publicly before the gates, before the elders, at the gate of the city. And then God did the very same thing through Christ Jesus. Christ confessed His bride before the gate of the city. He was crucified outside of the gate of the city before the city elders. He came to redeem fallen man. Brother Branham said, in bleeding, He sanctified a church so that He might have fellowship with it once again, as He once had in Eden with the first couple. He once walked with them in the cool of the evening. So the purpose of the Holy Ghost is God the Father, Spirit God, dwelling in you, working out His plan of redemption, and making you a co-worker with Him. I never saw that coming. What I was leading up to earlier, I just wanted to be saved. I never heard about the bride of Jesus Christ. I didn't know. I couldn't make sense out of the word, because here it sounded like you could lose eternal life, and in other places it sounded like there's no way you could lose it. And I'm thinking, well, both of those have to be true somehow, but I don't know how to put that together. I don't know how to take Romans 8 and justification by faith and not of works, lest any man should boast. And I don't know how to dovetail that with James, where James says, show me your works and show me your faith by your works. Without works, I had family members that were dedicated Christians that were on this side or on that side. I had Pilgrim Holiness relatives back in Indiana that believed that you could live a good, clean Christian life clear up to the last day and then do something wrong and still go to hell. And actually, I guess that is true for them, because they hadn't gone on to receive the Spirit, right? So you're going to be judged according to works. But if you ever die out and get filled with the Spirit of God, you can't die any more than God can die. You have, past tense, you have passed from death unto life. And you find out you didn't become a son. You find out, I always was a son. Or I always was a daughter. Hallelujah. So God wants to finish, work out this plan of redemption, finish this work in a body. He has no hands but yours, no feet but yours, no eyes but yours, no tongue but yours. This is His body on the earth. The devil needs a body to work through too. So God wants to do that. He sanctified His church. Then He came to live in His church. and to walk with his church in the cool of the evening. So it's God living in his church, working out his plan of redemption, making you a co-worker with him. And as he ran through the garden, that first garden in Eden, screaming, "Adam, where art thou?" Now he's running through Satan's Eden, and he's crying out for fallen man. And he's given you a part by giving you his spirit and by giving you his love that's being expressed through you. It causes you to hunger and thirst for lost souls. And you just can't rest recognizing that these souls are going to be eternally lost. Friends, this is much further than just talking about the bride. There's salvation. Who do you want to make it? There's a lot group. Amen. They can't be anything other than what they are, but let them come as far as they can come. If we have no burden for lost souls, well, there you are. Because the Spirit of God is seeking to save that which is lost. That burden that you feel, you should thank God for it. A lot of times we have a little self-pity because we got this burden and we just don't know how to unburden it or whatever. That's God. And he's put that burden on your heart so you'll go out and do his will.
Amen.
Praise his wonderful name. We are, if we're not careful, we take this message and we just hone it down so sharp that it's just for one group of people. Now, of course, we know that the main purpose is for the elect. The main purpose, redemption. Not everybody can be redeemed because not everybody was lost. Not everybody was in him before the foundation of the world. So he came for his own, right? But there's something out there. There's salvation for whosoever will. And there's if the Spirit of Christ is in us, then there's a sighing and a crying for the sins that are done in the city. There's a burden for lost souls. And we saw it expressed in our messenger. We saw it, oh, friends, to this day. And I hope I'm not offending anybody by making this statement, because I include myself in it as well. But I've still never met anybody that talked about Jesus as much as our messenger. That's all he talked about. He never tried to get people to follow him. He never tried to build a Oral Roberts University. He never tried to a kingdom build. He was a faithful friend of the bridegroom. And he did everything he could to tell you who that man was, who Christ is, the Christ of the Bible, and to introduce you to him, the true Christ of the Bible. You hear about him. He's up in Portland, Oregon, and there's a man that's got a reputation for breaking collarbones of preachers, right? And Brother Branham's talking about him, and said that he's having this meeting, and here this guy comes. He's just barreling down the in the church. He's coming down the aisle, and he said there was a... He just drops these things in there, just so, if you're not careful, you just miss it, right? But he just drops it in there. He said there was a policeman behind the curtain. He said, "I just led him to the Lord before the service." Now, he didn't lead him to the seven seals. He didn't lead him to Son of Man or spoken word, or right? He led him to the Lord. And he said, "I put my hand up. I got this, And then he goes on to tell us what happened. Friends, how can you give somebody the whole message just before the service? And even if you did, who can digest it all that quick? He said, "I led him to the Lord." Can't we do that? We don't have to throw the whole restaurant out every time we talk to somebody. Just tell them how the fire got lit. Tell them why you're happy. Tell them why you have peace. Tell them why you're not nervous. Tell them why you're not fearful in this hour. Tell them why you believe you have a hope. Tell them about the hope of glory that's in you. Let them come as far as they can come. And if he doesn't draw, they can't come. Oh, we want to beat them down. Foolish virgin, man, smack. She could have been bride. No, she couldn't. The wise virgin was called the wise virgin because she was wise. And because she was wise, she did what she did. The foolish virgin did what she did because she was foolish. It wasn't God waiting, oh, okay, let me see what she's going to do because I don't know. I'm not God. Let me just see. I'm going to put that opportunity out there, but I don't really know what she's going to do. But if she starts stepping towards bride but then gets foolish, I won't allow her to be my bride. She could have been. No, he chose his bride. Every name that was written on the Lamb's Book of Life, every son and daughter of God, if there hadn't been a fall in the garden, they would have come forth. Guess what? The devil didn't get over God at all. Because every name is coming forth in a second birth. And he'll not lose any. And he'll get up millions and millions more along the way. If Michael Walters and Mike Baker were up in the Catalina Mountains, and they told us they went up there and they're going to do a little prospecting, a little hiking, and they don't come back when we thought they were going to come back, and maybe a day goes by. Well, probably wouldn't let a whole day go by, but let's just say for the sake of argument, a day went by. Well, now we're a little nervous. We're a little uncomfortable because what happened to them? They should be back, right? We've done these things. We know there's lots of possibilities. Well, what should we do about it? Let's go find them, right? So we get a group of people together, and we go on an expedition. We go up there in the mountain. And guess what? I don't want to point somebody out here. That wouldn't be right. And I don't want to use a name because somebody here might have that name. Well, let's call him Biff. I don't think I know any Biffs, right? Let's say we're looking for these two, and in the process, we find a guy named Biff, and he needs our help. He's lost, he's dying, and he needs our help. Would we help him? Yes. Oh, no, we're coming for the bride only. This is just for the bride. See what kind of a spirit that is? I didn't go out there for him, but I'm on the lookout. And anybody that needs help, you want to help them? So of course you reach out and you save that person. You're a Messiah. You didn't die for him. You didn't pay the price for him. But you were burdened for him and you led him to Christ. Meanwhile, you find Michael and Mike and bring them back. Those are the ones that you went after. Now, would you despise this other one and say, well, why can't you be like Mike? Because he's not Mike. We don't know how far people can come, right? Let them come as far as they can come. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we're not kingdom building in the regards of building our own kingdoms. We're not bringing people to denominations. We're in the business of soul winning. So all that was in spirit God, he poured into Christ, his condescension. And now we're told that all that was in Christ, he's poured into his church. People say, well, in a way. No, in every way. The difference is, I don't have the fullness, but I don't need the fullness. I'm a believer. I'm born of a seed incorruptible, the Word of God. I came from Him. I'm part of Him. And He sent me a portion of Himself. And it'll do it has the same power, the same life, the same characteristics. But I'm not the fullness. And I'm okay with that. As I'm sure that you are. But you put us all together. Just as we've said so many times before. And I'm trying to hurry. I don't want to take too many detours here. But just following his leading. As we've said many times before. and have shot people, but it gets you to think, you know. And what kind of inspires these thoughts is things that I stare at that I don't quite know how to fit together. And then when the Lord shows it to me, then I think, well, if a dummy like me needs to see that, then, you know, maybe this will help some other people. Even if they've, you know, if you already know that, it won't hurt you to hear it, right? So we'll make a statement that like this: you're not bride. And then the whole church, you know, okay, go find them ushers. We want our offering back. We're not supporting this. He said, I'm not bride. Well, you're not, right? And this is important, because otherwise you won't be able to make the scriptures all fit the way they're supposed to fit. You are a son or daughter of God, right? And if you're a son or daughter of God, you get spankings. Does God spank his bride? Some think he does. Maybe you went to a church where the pastor beat you, said that you were his husband. Shame on him. Paul said, I have espoused you. I'm jealous over you, but I've espoused you to one, to Christ Jesus, right? God doesn't spank his bride, right? So how do we make this fit together? His bride is made up of sons and daughters of God. You put us all together, and that's his bride. And all together, the fullness of him is in his bride. And you're a part of that. Otherwise, he's got all these brides. He has one bride. Somebody say, praise the Lord. You say, well, that was just so insignificant, I didn't need to hear that. Well, then just pray for me, because I did. It helped me. So all that was in Christ now has been poured into the church. And God is now living in his church, communing with his church. And he's now getting his church back, this is a quote, getting his church back into speaking conditions as Adam once was in the beginning. We know that the church was in the dark ages that lasted some 1,500 years, and it wasn't something that surprised God. We know that it was all part of his plan. And we know that as God was beginning to restore that, it was the bride tree was eaten down to the roots, but the life was still there. It was down in the ground, but it began to come back up. And we know that God poured out a little bit more of his spirit with each stage as it's being the bride tree is being restored. And we know that that first stage was through the reformer Luther, and it was the message of justification. And we know that it was a work of the Holy Spirit, because you can't, that faith that's revealed to you, it comes from God, right? It's a work of the Holy Spirit. So there was a portion, as Brother Branham put it, there was a portion of the Holy Spirit that was poured out, and those that received the living word, the message of that hour, they had that portion of that life. The life was moving up through the stalk, right? It was genuine life. It just wasn't a seed yet. But it was genuine life. And then God poured a little bit more out in the days of Wesley. And we know that Wesley said, well, okay, you've been justified, but now God wants to clean you up. So there's a sanctification process that's taken place. And this is important. Just bear with me for a moment. And at the beginning of the last century, God poured out his spirit in the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the restoration of the gifts to the church. And the church now was again justified and sanctified and filled with the Spirit. And now a furtherance has taken place. The Son of Man, the person of the Word himself, has stepped into that church body. The mind of Christ has come into that body and is walking in that body and is finishing the work of redemption. Each age declared, we got it. The Lutherans, when they experienced that great You know, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Well, that's you're laboring under the burden of sin, right? So they laid that burden down. They were justified by faith, and that revelation broke on them. And there was a great, they said, we got it. Well, they did have the life that was available at that particular time, right? But then it moved on. And the next move was a move of sanctification, where the Holy Spirit came in and began to clean up and set the vessel aside for service in preparation to put it into service. And so the Wesleyans, they said, well, when we shouted, we had it. Well, those that were walking in Wesley's message at that time, whether they shouted or not, they did have it if they were walking in it, right? But to say I got it today because I received sanctification, well, no, you don't have it. You have a portion, and I'm not despising that. I'm not looking down on it. You still have to be justified. You still have to be sanctified, right, in order to be filled with the Holy Spirit. So each age said, we got it. And they did have what God gave to the church in each age. But you must move on with the move of God, because the life increases and moves in each age. And much more is required, because there's more Spirit. There's an increase of His Spirit in the church until He steps down. He said the Son of Man had no place to lay His head. Well, it's true. There was no body for Him to lay His head on until this age. Now He's found a body. And the Son of Man is laying His head upon that body. And He will have preeminence. He is having preeminence in that body. So the fullness of God has now stepped into a body in this last age, bringing back the very same grain of wheat that fell in the ground in the beginning, bringing forth that very same life with the same signs, the same wonders, the same miracles, and the same word. And Christ Jesus is now manifesting Himself in the church once again. Friends, if He's here, there ought to be evidence. And we shouldn't be bashful about it. Looking at this real quickly here this morning, we know that God set a pattern out in the Old Testament of a son being raised and tutored and a report being given on him to the father by the tutor. And when that son came to maturity, and when that son showed that he was about his father's business, well, then the father took him to a high place before witnesses, put a robe on him, and turned the business over to the son. We saw it again in the life of our Lord Jesus. He was born of a virgin, and he lived 30 years and showed that he was a proper son. He received the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and then he went through 3.5 years of hard trials. And at the end, he was transfigured before witnesses. And so is it today, friends. When a man is proven and God loves him, this is a quote, He takes him out in front of angels, lifts him up into His presence, gifts him and fills him and sets him out and says, hear ye Him. So the church has been getting stronger and stronger in each age until the time that Christ steps into that body in the fullness of His power, the fullness of His word, the very person of the word, stepping in into that third realm, not just anointing the spirit, not just anointing the flesh, but coming into the realm of the soul, coming in to sup with you and you with Him. And so those that went on before us, they cannot be made perfect without us. We are living in an adoption time. Now, this is another thing that's unfortunately been mistaught and by many, and they make the adoption time, the baptism of the Holy Ghost, and they make it like there's two seals. They make it like, well, you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but then you've got to press your way up through all these virtues, and you can still miss it somehow. And they'll take quotes and kind of misapply them. You know, Brother Branham said you can have the baptism of the Holy Ghost every hour of the day and still go to hell, right? Well, he was talking about what they were terming as the baptism of the Holy Ghost, which is you can have a baptism on your flesh. You can have a baptism on your spirit. But if that life ever comes down on the inside of the inside, you can't die any more than God can die. In fact, a butterfly can never be a caterpillar ever again. It's too late. I've been changed. Hallelujah. So the church has been getting stronger and stronger in each age. Oh, okay. So teaching, you know, and that usually what's behind that is the apostolic church teaching or Pentecostal Church of God, or one of these holiness movements that just that can't let go of the works, right? And that's where the Pentecostals stayed where they were at and refused to go further with this message because they couldn't stomach predestination, you know? Because I got my choice here, and you're taking my works out of there. Okay, Cain, you know, show us your works, you know. Abraham believed God. God made a covenant with Abraham. And the covenant he made was not, if you do this, I'll do that. God made a covenant with Abraham and said, this is what I'm going to do. And Abraham believed God. And even when Abraham was going the wrong direction, God worked that out for his own good and brought him back. Because God swore by himself. Amen. So, that wrong teaching on adoption and from the messages, blasphemous names, and so on and so forth, you'll hold people's heels over hell and they'll never have any kind of rest because they can still miss it somehow, you know, because they don't believe your latest teaching, as an example. These pet doctrines that come up. Where's the rest? How is it? I had one brother that was kind of going down that path. And I said, well, what about make your calling and election sure? And he got up and preached. He said, make your calling and election sure every day. That's just dumb. Because if I made it sure today, why won't it be sure tomorrow? If I have to make it sure every day, it ain't sure. If I have to get up every morning, is it sure? Pull like four-leaf clovers or whatever. She loves me. She loves me not. She loves me. Brother Branham taught in the Joshua, Ephesians parallels Joshua and that whole series. And he's taken us through the book of Ephesians. He said, Paul, taking you to the other side, he's trying to show you that there's no way. You're on the other side of it now looking back. And he says, there's no way you could have missed it. You were chosen in him before the foundation of the world to be this, that, and the other. Oh, it still struggles. It still stumbles people. Brother Branham would just back up on that for until the book came open. He would back up on it, not compromising, but he recognized that he was hitting a wall when he went out and he was doing the work of an evangelist, and he'd hit a wall if he said predestination or foreknowledge, and he'd back up on it a little bit and just kind of go another direction. But once the book came open, he quit backing up on it, and they left him. They refused to continue to follow, right? Because somehow man wants to save himself. Somehow it has something to do with you. Friends, if it's Jesus Christ plus something else, I'm lost. If it's Jesus Christ plus something I got to do, I'm lost. Because I've proved that. I've messed up everything I ever tried to do. I've proven it. Well-meaning. Good intentions. Peter. The Lord told him, before the cock crows, you're going to deny me. Three times. Not me. He believed that. He swore. Right? Jesus said that he was going to go to the cross. Peter said, over my dead body. Right? Very sincere. Peter said, I'll never deny you. He believed that. But without the Holy Ghost, you will deny him. Well, hallelujah. I just want to hone in on this. Because this is where Brother Bram, in fact, in this very same message, he says, you don't want to hear about eternal security, right? I was raised Baptist. They taught eternal security, and I lost faith in it because my Sunday school teacher would smoke his cigarette and come and teach Sunday school, you know? And once saved, always saved. And I thought, well, if that's true, then what, you know, I can just live however I want. And you can't tell the difference between somebody that's a Christian and somebody that isn't. And they believed these things, right? Well, there's a truth to that, to eternal security. But you must pass from death unto life. Then he said, all the Father has given me will come. I won't lose any. You're in his hand. It's not you doing it. It's him. And just touching on it here for just a moment, that whole human will thing where you've got something to do, and of course you have a will. God knew all the things that you would do, and he worked his plan out to make all things work together. All things that happen to you are not good, but he made all things work together for good, right? To bring you to your expected end. Abraham was under a covenant. Lot wasn't. God never called Lot. He called Abraham, right? Lot's wife turned back, and she was turned into a pillar of salt. Sarah laughed, but God didn't kill her. Why? Because she was under a covenant. Think of it this way, friends. If you are a son or daughter of God, you were in him before the foundation of the world. Amen. So if you were in him, how could there be any sin in you? Amen. I'm talking about the real you. I'm not talking about this guy. Amen. I'd gladly trade this thing in. Amen. This model's wore out. I don't like it. You say, well, I don't like this, that, or the other about you. Well, you left this out. You left that out. There's a few more things I don't like about it either. I got another one that agrees with my soul. And I'll have to apologize for this, and I'll do everything I can to keep myself under myself and walk in the spirit, not in the flesh. But this flesh will show that it's flesh. And I'll have to apologize at least a few more times before we're out of here. There's only one that never had to apologize, and that's the one that was virgin born. The rest of us, well. So let me just illustrate this point this way, and we'll move on, because this is important for our topic. Did Jesus have a choice? Of course he did. Otherwise, he was not made in our image. Otherwise, he wasn't a man, right? I needed a near kinsman. I needed someone that was like me to come and pay the price. So he had a will, right? And what was his greatest battle? His own will. He didn't want to become sin. He didn't want to be separated from God, right? He didn't want to go to hell. He who knew no sin didn't want to take on the sins of the world, right? As a human, that's your human, who would, right? But yet he said, nevertheless, not my will, but thy will be done, right? So he had a will, and he made choices. So let me ask you this. Wasn't God taking a great big chance when he sent him? Because if I put it on the same grounds that the Pentecostals and these holiness movements put it on, there's a chance that you might make the wrong choice. Right? So God only sent one. And how many believes that he had to choose to die for you? Amen. He chose the harder way, but it was the right way. A great portion of heaven awaits him. He's the firstborn amongst many brethren. So if there's a firstborn, there's a secondborn, a thirdborn, a finalborn, right? Heirs together, joint heirs. So he had to make a choice. But didn't God wasn't he taking a chance there? I mean, what if he'd have chose to be the devil instead? Well, you and I wouldn't be having church right now. Or if we did, it'd be a different kind, I suppose. Well, I can't give you a scripture for this. So this is the world according to Doug. But I feel very strongly about it. He did have a choice, and he made that choice. And it was the harder choice, right? But I would submit to you this morning that he couldn't have made any other choice because of who he was. He was the very heart of God expressed. How could God choose otherwise?
Amen.
Right? So if you are a son or daughter of God this morning.
Amen.
Oh, look at that great choice you made. How could you make any other choice? It's not making it easy for you. It's not taking your trials away. But really, because of who you are, you came from God.
Amen.
Your soul came from God. You are the Word.
Amen.
How could you choose otherwise than to do the will of the Father? That doesn't take your choice away. But because of who you are, you'll make that choice. You take this away, there's no rest. Well, if you preach it this way, people will live loose. People that live loose will live loose no matter what you say. I don't. I love them. I want to please them. I want to serve them. I make mistakes. I go through times where I wish I was doing more or whatever. Not what I want to be, perhaps. But my desire, first and foremost, is to live for Him, is to serve Him. I want the truth. I have a love of the truth. And since I have a love of the truth, He didn't send me a strong delusion to believe the lie. Blessed be the name of the Lord. But this is all because of Him. And it's me trusting Him. It's me believing Him. It's me surrendering to Him. I didn't choose Him. He chose me. Somebody say, praise the Lord. So we're living in adoption time. And I'm going to try and wrap this up here in a few minutes. We're living in a time where God can pour into us His fullness, His power, His resurrection, until the church and Christ become so close together, until Christ becomes visible among us, raising the dead and taking us in a rapture. Oh, it can't be the bride that the rapture comes through. It's Christ. In a body. Why does He have to come in another body? Why can't He do it in this body? He can, and He will, according to the prophet. And that's why they, without us, cannot be made perfect. Because He never stepped into a body since the first church age until now. But now He Himself is coming in a body. And He is the resurrection and the life. Blessed be His wonderful name. So the adoption that we're speaking of, Paul said it's the fullness of your adoption is the change of your body.
Right?
Well, you've already been baptized in the Holy Ghost. So we're not talking about, well, you might not get adopted. If you receive the Holy Ghost, you will get adopted. But you'll go through a process. Because only those that are filled with the Holy Ghost will go in the rapture. And the rest live not for the space of 1,000 years. And then when they're brought up, they're judged by works. Every Christian church claims to believe Jesus was the Son of God and that He was on the earth here 2,000 years ago. But Brother Branham says you're not converted until you receive the Holy Ghost. You're believing unto. Right? Remember the disciples walking with the Lord. And the Lord told Peter, he gave him the keys of the kingdom. And then he says, oh, by the way, you know, you're all puffed up. And he says, by the way, when you're converted, Peter, strengthen the brethren. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Yes, Lord. Peter, feed my sheep. Peter, do you love me? Why do you keep asking me that? When you're strengthened, when you're converted, strengthen your brethren. Peter couldn't strengthen himself. People tell me, oh, you can't know that you got the Holy Ghost and there's, you know, just some kind of, sometime between 1980 and 1990, you know, there's a brother that I love dearly that I pray for, I'm still holding out for, that fell out with me over the new birth. And I wasn't trying to differ, whatever. Somebody asked me, somebody was wanting a new birth, happened to be in the same room and told the brother what to do. And pastor got all upset and he said, you know, I just believed the message and that is the new birth. And I can say amen to every word. Well, how do you even know you can say amen to every word, right? We'll get into that here in just a moment. But he took me to task in front of his family. And of course, I wasn't going to correct him in front of his family. He had the transmit button on the walkie-talkie held down, you know. When you hold that down, you're not wanting to hear anything. You're just wanting to transmit, right? Now he's left the message. Right, he doesn't believe that God was sent a prophet after faithfully telling stories that just, you know, were inspiring and got a hold of people after influencing a whole lot of people. So, no, you saying you believe, that doesn't mean you have the Holy Ghost. You're not converted because you say you believe. We'll get to that here in just a moment. You're not converted until you don't come to a full birth until you receive the Holy Ghost.
Right.
And Peter is a good example, right? Jesus found him fishing naked. You've read about that, right? Jesus denied the Lord 3 times, cursed, right? Tried to keep Jesus from going to the cross. He walked on water. Not because he wanted to walk on water, but he was so jealous. John said, the disciple whom the Lord loved, speaking of himself, hint, hint, wink, wink. Peter knew that and wanted to, he said, bid me walk to you on the water. Why? So he could show that, you know, I don't know. He wasn't converted, so I'm pretty sure his motive wasn't right. And we saw a lesson being, right? But when the day of Pentecost came, we saw a different Peter. He quit lying. He was no longer jealous. He received correction from the Word. When the church age messenger corrected him, he received it. When he was being hypocritical with the Galatians and the Ephesians or the Hebrews, he was changed. Something happened. So when you give your heart to the Lord, you confess him publicly. And there are several here that are candidates right now. You've confessed Jesus publicly, and that's wonderful. And you believe him to be the Son of God, and that's wonderful. But up to this point, there's a little ways more to go in order to get that life. Because Judas was at that point at one point. And the devil believes that he was the Son of God too. So you are justified by faith by believing on the Lord Jesus Christ. And we believe that's a work of the Holy Spirit. But then there's another second work of grace, and it's a greater portion of the Spirit that gives you a new spirit so you can get along with yourself, God, other people. It changes your desires and brings conviction, begins to clean you up, and takes the pipe out of your mouth and the beer stein out of your hand, and it cleans you up before you are put into service. John 17:17, Jesus said, sanctify them through thy truth, and thy word is truth. So Jesus justified and sanctified his disciples, sent them out. Judas was amongst them. And they came back rejoicing. Now, friends, you can't tell at justification or sanctification who's bride and who isn't. You can't tell. And it's none of your business anyway. But you can't tell because we all have to go through that. And you're working your way through sanctification, right? You're sanctified by the truth. You hear the word, and the word tells you that's wrong, that's right. I'm not three, I'm one, or whatever it might be. And you're washed by the water of the word. You're sanctified by the truth if you'll be obedient, right? So the foolish virgin is sanctified by the same word, right? She just never goes on to get that life. So the disciples came back rejoicing because Jesus sent them out, and they came back saying, even the devils are subject to us. And he said, don't rejoice that the spirits are, these devils are subject to you, but that your names are written in heaven. And Judas was with them. We know that his name was written on the book of life and not the Lamb's book of life. And we know that your name can be taken off. It's put on, Brother Brown said, at sanctification, and it can be taken off. That's a whole other topic. So the Antichrist spirit will walk right up to the baptism of the Holy Ghost, but will show its colors right there. Judas showed his colors at the gate of Pentecost. So you can't tell. And without sanctification, there'll be no baptism of the Holy Ghost, because God's not going to put his spirit in a garbage can. The two will be so close, Brother Bram said, but the elect will have something, this is the way he put it, something tugging at their heart saying, I want the Holy Spirit. Because it's the Father drawing you, and it's him telling you, none will be lost. He says, I will give you eternal life. I will give you my very own life. And then Brother Branham puts it this way, and then you can't die any more than God can die. What a great revelation this is to the believer, friends. So quickly now, recall that in Acts chapter 19, there was a lawyer by the name of Apollos. He was a great, very, very gifted minister, used of God in mighty ways. After that, he was won over to Christ, and he became, as Brother Branham put it, a Baptist preacher, right? Because he was following the teaching of John the Baptist. He was baptized in John's baptism. And Aquila and Priscilla told Paul about him. And Paul came to check it out. And Paul came to hear him preach. And he was impressed. Thought, man, that's the best message on John the Baptist I've ever heard. That's the best justification message. But he never heard Apollos mentioned the Holy Ghost one time. I challenge you. Go check out your message and find a message where Brother Branham doesn't talk about the Holy Ghost, where he doesn't mention Christ. And so Paul greets him, tells him what a fine sermon it was, and just, you know, how happy he is that he's a fellow servant now. He's, you know, come to the kingdom, he's come to the truth, and souls are being brought in. So Paul says, I just got a couple questions for you, if you don't mind. He says, have you received the Holy Ghost since you believed? And Apollos says, what Holy Ghost, right? And Paul, no doubt, is thinking, well, I thought so. Because you never mentioned it. And he says, well, then how are you baptized? He says, unto John's baptism, unto repentance. Now, friends, if you were baptized, John baptized Jesus. I mean, could you see somebody making a doctrine out of that? Well, if it was good enough for Jesus, it's good enough for me. Right? But that baptism was a baptism unto repentance, but not for the remission of sins. Because sins couldn't be remitted until Jesus paid the price. Died on the cross. Brother Branham tells us in this very same message, he said there was a Baptist man that came to him, very sincere man, a lovely man. And he said, Brother Branham, I just, you know, What more could Abraham do than believe God? I believe he mentions this also, brings it up again in the third or the fourth seal. What more could a man do? What more could Abraham do than believe God? He said, believe? Well, of course. You know, because people want to cabbage down on that. Well, it's just believing God. You know, it's believing the word. What more could he do than believe? There is nothing more. Friends, that's the theme of our message.
Right.
And that shows how close things can get.
Yeah.
Right? The theme of our message is only
believe.
Believe. That's the only thing you can do. Right? But if you truly do believe, then God will come and confirm that you did believe and will give you a seal. We'll give you a sign. And it's the baptism of the Holy Ghost. That's a quote. There is nothing more you can do than believe. Abraham believed God. But then God, Brother Bram said, came and gave Abraham a sign. Circumcision. This is a circumcision not of the flesh, but of the soul. So people say, well, I believe on Jesus Christ. Therefore, I have eternal life. That's what we said as Baptists. But the thing of it is, you can't even call him the Christ until you've received the Holy Ghost. You can't even say. Because your spirit must be able to bear witness with his spirit. And until you have his spirit, you can't say that. Give me a scripture. Okay, 1 Corinthians chapter 12, verse 3. Wherefore I give you to understand that no man speaketh by the Spirit of God, calleth Jesus accursed. And no man can say that Jesus is the Lord, but by the Holy Ghost.
Amen.
It has to be revealed to you. And you'll say it by the Holy Ghost. Well, let's just go ahead and add a little bit to that. Brother Branham also said, bride never persecutes bride. So if you have that spirit in you, you won't persecute. But if we don't have his spirit, well, now we're going to have seminars. Now we're going to have PowerPoint. And I'm going to get myself in trouble. Somebody's going to hear that. Oh, he's against PowerPoint. I'm not. I'm just telling you, I worked for 20 years. I was a PowerPoint ranger. And I could make some PowerPoints. Dazzle you with charts and some of the most boring presentations you'd ever sit through. Everybody's looking at their watch, you know. Isn't this supposed to be over in a half an hour? That's why people want a half hour preaching, because it's not anointed. If it's anointed, you lose track of time. Brother Branham didn't say preach a half hour. He said don't wear the people out. And you know when you're wearing the people out. So without his spirit, we need to educate. We need Bible schools so we can get everybody on the same page. We need some kind of organization so that somebody can look over this. But Christ wants to manifest himself to the world, friends. And he's going to do so through a minority, because it's always been that way. And it'll be a minority that receives him instead of just believing with their intellect. And before I leave that point, there's only so many that are supposed to be born again of the Spirit of God in our age. It's not like God couldn't find any more. He knows how many seeds he planted for this hour, and he sent the light for this age. Luther's message did not wake you up. It took the light of this age to wake you up. And everyone will come forth. So though we might not, we're all made up, we all have different makeups. A lot of times we'll use that as excuses for why we don't go on with God. But what kind of a God would give you a makeup and then say, oh, I wish I could do something with that? That's us. And it's our unbelief. And I don't say that to hurt you. I just say that I was guilty of that. I don't want to use the word guilty like it. You know, you're trying to do a bad thing, but When I was seeking the baptism, I said, what more do I got to do? Or what do I got to do, God? Right? I mean, you don't even hear your own words, right? And then the devil would say, well, you did this and you did that. And it's like, yeah, but that's under the blood, but I'm not thinking about it at the moment. And that'll hold you back, right? Because it's unbelief. I have to believe that he's forgiven me. I have to have faith that that's all under the blood. And if the devil can beat me black and blue, how can I receive the promise when I don't have faith in it? Are you with me? So we might not be made up in such a way that we can stand alone in the face of opposition. But when his spirit comes upon you, it'll bring power, it'll bring boldness, regardless of your temperament. Listen to this. Acts chapter 7, verse 51. You stiff-necked and uncircumcised in the heart and ears, you do always resist the Holy Ghost. As your fathers did, so do you. Which of the prophets have not your fathers persecuted? And they've slain them which shewed before of the coming of the Just One, of whom ye have been now the betrayers and murderers, who have received the law by the dispensation of angels and have not kept it. When they heard these things, they were cut to their heart, and they gnashed on him with their teeth. People say, well, the reason why I blew up on you is because you did this, that, and the other. No, the reason why you blew up on me is because you're mean. The reason why you blew up is because you got a temper. Right? Oh, that really makes me mad. Well, thank you for making my case. I can't make you do anything. You do what you do because of what's in you. These guys did what they did because they were of the devil. But he, being full of the Holy Ghost, he looked up steadfastly into heaven and saw the glory of God and Jesus standing on the right hand of God and said, behold. Now, he didn't literally see Jesus standing on the right hand of God. It's the way that's interpreted. He saw him in his power. And he said, behold, I see the heavens opened, and the Son of Man standing on the right hand of God. Then they cried out with a loud voice and stopped their ears and ran upon him with one accord. Why? Because he's preaching the truth. And it made them so mad. And they cast him out of the city and stoned him. And the witnesses laid down their clothes at a young man's feet whose name was Saul. And they stoned Stephen, calling upon God and saying, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. Now, friends, that doesn't sound like somebody that's having trouble making it to church. Talking about Stephen. That doesn't sound like somebody that has pastor problems. We don't know what Stephen was like before the Holy Ghost came upon him. But we do know a Peter and others and how carnal they were. And we see the change that took place in their lives. So the Holy Ghost gives you power to pray. The Holy Ghost gives you power to, there'll be groanings and utterings sometimes. You don't know what to pour out, but the Holy Spirit will intercede on your behalf. The Holy Ghost will give you power to bear the burdens of others. The Holy Ghost will give you power to live right. The Holy Ghost will give you power to overcome. The Pentecostals, they made the day of Pentecost, all about gifts and as if the ministries were coming. Well, they were preaching before the day of Pentecost, and they had gifts before the day of Pentecost. They were casting out devils before the day of Pentecost. What came was power to overcome. What came was power to serve. So the Holy Ghost will give you what to say, even in certain situations. You won't even know what to say. But as Brother Branham put it, too many church members lead defeated lives needlessly. They're good people. Nice people. And we're not at all unchristianizing anybody. Yet always defeated. People problems. Church problems. Work problems. Prayers never answered. Gossip problems. Drinking problems. We could go on and on and on. Friends, what we need to recognize is we all face those. But Holy Ghost-filled believers overcome. That's the difference. So you might not even know what your brother or sister is going through. And you might actually be angry with them because it seems like their life is all together and they're happy and they got peace. And you're thinking, well, you just aren't going through what I'm going through. How do you know that? The difference is they're overcoming and you're not. They're facing the same devils. They got the same problems. But they're not overtaken. Acts 1:8. But you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. And you shall be witnesses unto me both in Jerusalem and all Judea and Samaria and the uttermost parts of the earth. Luke 24:49. And behold, I send the promise of my Father upon you. But tarry ye in the city of Jerusalem until ye be endued with power from on high. So we know that there was a certain day that this was going to take place on. And we know that the disciples were told to go to Jerusalem. They weren't even told to go to the upper room. They were told to go to Jerusalem. They chose the upper room. And wait until... And they had to wait for a certain day. We don't have to wait for a certain day. Right? But they were told to wait until they were endued with power from on high. So wait until something happens. Right? And then power for speech came immediately. Courage to speak in the face of criticism. They were hiding out prior to this. And yet, here's the great paradox. Because if we're not careful, you know, some people, oh, I'm just so filled with the Holy Ghost. And there's no humility. And there's no meekness. So boldness, being able to speak out, not being afraid, and yet still being meek and humble, just not backing up on the word. Acts 2:37. Now when they heard this, they were pricked in their heart, and they said unto Peter and to the rest of the apostles, men and brethren, what shall we do? Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children, to all that are afar off, even as many as our Lord God shall call. Right? That promise is still here this morning. Right? And as we were speaking about Paul earlier, Apollos wasn't taught right, so he didn't have the Holy Ghost. Paul taught right, he received the Holy Ghost. So it matters how you're taught. I wasn't taught right. I was sincere. I was crying out. But I wasn't taught right in the Baptist church. So if you don't hear the word, how are you going to receive it? Just like Philip and the eunuch, right? Philip comes alongside the eunuch and says, do you understand what it is that you're reading? He says, how could I? There's nobody to explain it to me. So Philip explained it to him. And then he said, look, there's water. Right? What prevents us? What was the Holy Ghost given for? Brother Branham says, paragraph 101, long as God's got a people, God's got a church. God's got a Holy Ghost marching with it. That's what God gave the Holy Ghost for. Intellectuals will rise, always have, but God's got a minority somewhere. God's got a little church that'll move right on with the baptism of the Holy Ghost to claim in the light. Now, he's not talking about a little church, love divine fellowship. He's talking about a church body. He's much bigger than that. It's not us four, no more. It's around the globe. And they'll be the ones that through their testimony will judge the world. Don't the Bible say, Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart. They shall see God. And the other ones say, the saint shall judge the earth. Sure, your testimony today will bring judgment against this city. Our testimony of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power of God and a holy life will bring judgment against this city. So people will say, and I'm dangerously close to pulling over, I'm sorry, but this is important. Lives, we need to teach it right. Your confidence is in the Word. If you can see it in the Word, and if you can take God at His Word, He'll do it. Oh, we've seen it so much, friends. We've seen Him raise the dead. We've seen Him do all kinds of supernatural things, miracles. We've seen Him create an eyeball. We've seen Him save souls. You say, that's not supernatural. That's entirely supernatural. Seen Him clean up the backslider. We've seen Him fill with the Holy Ghost. He's still doing what He said He would do. Amen. They'll be the ones that through their testimony will judge the world. Don't the Bible say Jesus said, blessed are the pure in heart, they shall see God. The other one said, saints shall judge the earth. Sure, your testimony today will bring judgment against this city. Our testimony of the baptism of the Holy Ghost and the power of God, a holy life, will bring judgment against the city. People say, well, I just can't stop this or that. I said that. And it's true. That's what you're trying to do. Brother Brown said, you're struggling to quit this and quit that. Get the quitter. Otherwise, why do you need the Holy Ghost? The Holy Ghost was given so that you can overcome whatever is before you. Those that go on and continue on living like they did before confessing Jesus, they're guilty of defiling the temple of God. And God wants a temple that's sanctified and set aside for service. So we get people that just perpetually seek the baptism, but they don't want their life to change. Well, if you aren't going to do what you know to do, why should God do what He said He was going to do? Right? If the Word tells you, don't do this and don't do that, and you say, that don't mean a whole lot, well, you're not going to get the Holy Ghost. If any man defile the temple of God, 1 Corinthians 3:17, if any man defile the temple of God, him shall God destroy, for the temple of God is holy, which temple ye are. A sanctified temple unto the Lord. I'm rushing right now. God wants a people that are set aside unto Him, walking with Him in an Enoch walk, not crying and moaning, oh, my family this and this one that, and I'm the only one. You're walking with God.
Hallelujah.
I get it if you're not walking with God. I get it that this is not enjoyable. I had 22 years of that as a Baptist. I get it. I get it that you can't relate to joy unspeakable and full of glory. I get it. I lived that. I couldn't either. I get that. But once you come in contact with Him, it all changes.
Amen.
You're in a walk with Him.
Amen.
You walk in a world alone with Him. He gives the orders. You carry Him out.
Hallelujah.
My worst day since I've been filled with the Holy Ghost is better than my best day.
Amen.
Before that.
Amen.
Again, 2 Corinthians 6:14. Be not unequally yoked together with unbelievers, for what fellowship hath righteousness with unrighteousness? And what communion hath light with darkness? And what concord hath Christ with Belial? Or what part hath he that believeth with an infidel? And what agreement hath the temple of God with idols? For you are the temple of the living God, and God hath said, I will dwell in them and walk in them, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. But they won't know it. I added that part. That's the Baptist version of it. Wherefore, come out from among them, and be ye separate, saith the Lord, touch not the unclean thing, and I will receive you. And I will be a father unto you, and you shall be my sons and daughters, saith the Lord Almighty. So the Holy Ghost separates us unto the Lord, calls us out to walk alone with Him, and makes it possible for us to do that. Keeps us. 2 Timothy 3:5. Having a form of godliness, but denying the power thereof, from such turn away. That describes modern Christianity in our day without the Holy Ghost. So you receive the baptism of the Holy Ghost. You're no longer of this world. You no longer have the spirit of this world. You no longer have the desires of the world. And you will live a holy life.
Amen.
You just will.
Yeah.
And you will stay with the word.
Amen.
It's not a test. Well, let's see if he stays with the word. No, you will stay with the word.
Amen.
And a Holy Ghost filled preacher will preach it.
Amen.
And a Holy Ghost filled church won't try to tie his hands. And God will be with them. But if God's not with that preacher, well, the organizations will support him. Otherwise, God's with him. John 8:23. And he said unto them, you are from beneath. I am from above. You're of this world. I'm not of this world. John 12:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, except a corn of wheat fall into the ground and die, it abideth alone. But if it die, it bringeth forth much fruit. John 3:3. Jesus answered and said unto him, verily, verily, I say unto you, except a man be born again, talking to Nicodemus, he cannot see the kingdom of God. So you won't even know, you won't even be able to see it, right? And yet it's right here. Nicodemus saith unto him, well, how can a man be born when he's old? How can he enter the second time into his mother's womb and be born? Jesus answered, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born of water and of spirit, he cannot enter into the kingdom of God. That which is born of flesh is flesh. That which is born of spirit is spirit. Marvel not that I say unto thee, ye must be born again. The wind bloweth where it listeth, and thou hearest the sound thereof, but canst not tell whence it cometh and whither it goeth. So is everyone that is born of the Spirit. So the Holy Ghost will take the world out of you. It'll take the desires of the world will be sealed out. Christ will be sealed in. It'll be you and him. You'll be communing together behind the veil in the holiest of holies. But if we don't go on and we become lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God, 1 Timothy 5:6 says, but she that liveth in pleasure is dead while she liveth. She's not born again of the Spirit of God. So there's no way, friends, to come into this body of believers that goes in the rapture, except you die out and be born again of the Spirit of God. I realize these are simple things. There are people that just need to hear these things. I want them to look at them and meditate on them. Let God speak to you. 1 Corinthians 12:13, for by one Spirit we are all, not just some of us, we are all baptized into one body, whether we be Jews or Gentiles, whether we be bond or free, and we have been all made to drink into one Spirit. So your destiny is set, and nothing can keep you from reaching your destination. I know the thoughts that I think towards you, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expect. You don't have a surprise ending to your life. It's an expected end. And you want to know what it is? Look in the Word. The Word will show you. John 5:24. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life. This is where people will take this scripture and they'll say, well, I believe on him, right? But you can't really call him the Christ except by the Holy Ghost. So this is speaking of another group of people. I'm going to read this last quote and we will close. Actually, there's two quotes. Can I read two quotes and we'll close? All right. This is a special time that we've got here. And you just never know. Listen to this. Brother Brown says, when you come tomorrow night, so he preached what was Holy Ghost given for. The next night, he said he was going to get ministers together, different ones, instruct them on how to pray with different ones, lay on hands, whatever. Don't have to do that, but here's what he said about it. He says, when you come tomorrow night, you come either to go in here and stay till it's over, or come up and we're going to pray and lay hands on you. Now people will say, well, that was before 63, and you know, it comes a different way since then, right? The only problem with that is that, well, first of all, why would God restore something after 2,000 years and then repent of it and say, I got a better way? It wasn't so from the beginning. So why did he preach birth pains in Phoenix and say, you might have seen me wink at a little lady here a little while ago. That's my daughter, Rebecca. She came in here. He says, I want her. It was Broken Cisterns, I think. He says, I want her to receive the baptism of the Spirit. Well, don't you believe that your daddy is a prophet? Rebecca, come on now. Get with it. Just believe. He says, I want her to receive the baptism of the Spirit. He says, you brethren know. You know, the church doesn't have the life of its own. The church creates the atmosphere so that life can come into the church. He says, you know that we're responsible to create that atmosphere. Right? If we create a bar atmosphere, we shouldn't expect people to receive the Holy Ghost. But if we create the right atmosphere, we should expect all things. Right? He says, and then at the end of the service, he says, all those that want the Holy Ghost, come down. All those that have the Holy Ghost that want to pray with him, come down and pray with him. This is after the books open, so. You can get quiet on me all you want, but either you're going to believe all the message or I can cope with it all. Right? Well, what about the evidence is believing every word? We'll get into the evidence tonight, just for a few minutes. Right? You will believe every word. Right? At first he said it was love. Well, you can love and still not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Well, it'll be the fruits of the Spirit. You can have the fruits of the Spirit and still not have the baptism of the Holy Ghost. Right? But you cannot stay with a word. Peter didn't. Peter came against the word. And Jesus said, I'm praying for you. Satan wants to sift you, right? But once he was converted, he never came against the word again. You can't stay with the word except by the Holy Ghost. You will be deceived without the Holy Ghost. Because that's what keeps you from being deceived. Okay. When you come tomorrow night, you come either to go in here and stay till it's over, or come and we're going to pray and lay hands on you. That's the order of the Bible. Lay hands on them for the Holy Ghost. And then we're going to, you go to your home. And if you stay there, if you stay right there, if you stay all night, stay the next day, stay the next day, stay through the holidays, stay till the first of the year, stay on, stay until. Whatever we instruct about tomorrow night, showing you the Bible, what has to come, what will come, and when it comes, then there isn't enough devils in torment. You know you've passed from death unto life. You're a new creature in Christ Jesus. The joy bells of heaven will ring. Now, the point here, friends, is when you believe, you can receive. You meet God's requirement. You meet that prescription. Then you believe. You accept it. You truly believe it. You take God at his word. You're sanctified. You can receive. There's nothing else that needs to happen. But we know, like with divine healing, divine healing doesn't manifest immediately. Sometimes it does, right? The main thing is you believe. But if you believe, you'll be in expectation, right? You won't just go on, okay, I believe, now let's go on and, right? You'll be keeping your focus on that. You'll be saying, Lord, you know, you promised. I believe you. God likes you to remind him of his word. I believe that you're going to fulfill your word. You promised it. We'll instruct tomorrow night. He says, showing you what the Bible, what has to come, what will come. And when it comes, there isn't enough devils in torment. You know you've passed from death unto life. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. The joy bells of heaven will ring. Brother Othel. I love this example that he gives us here real quick. I'm telling you, not awful, but awful. I'm telling you, it just sets you afire. Here's an old boy sitting here, an old brother of mine that was a gangster, walking with guns on his side, looking for a man around the corner, somebody to blow their brains out. And what happened? One day, he looked and believed unto life. And he walked on. And he followed my meetings. And the poor guy, with not enough to eat, let me stop right there. He said, talking about Rebecca in that very same message, he said, poor little thing, she's been fasting until she can't hardly stand up. He says, I want her to receive the baptism of the Spirit. You can also look up Sister Loisy. Same thing. You'll hear Brother Branham talk about Sister Loisy. She's here to receive the Spirit and so on and so forth. So people that say that there's no experience, that you can't know, that's a lie. In fact, there's a quote. Brother Branham, does everyone have to have an experience? Yes. We're just not telling you what it is. What it is Jesus Christ revealing himself to you personally.
Amen.
And that life coming, that power coming. And your life will show it. He followed my meetings. The poor guy will not, with not enough to eat and laid and slept in bushes by the side of the tent, hungering and thirsting. And one day, the Holy Spirit come. Oh, my brother, it changed you, didn't it? It brought life and took death away. Hatred left and love come in. Oh, my, enmity and strife all fell away. New life come. Look here at the others times others, and out through there. Oh, the joy bells of heaven ringing. Friends, there's no way for me to express it. Amen. Acts 4:29. And now, Lord, behold their threatening. So they went out and they were preaching Jesus. There's a man that was infirm that got healed. He was in his 40s. And the scribes, Pharisees, the leaders, they're having a tough time explaining it. And they're telling the disciples, stop it. Quit preaching this Jesus. They say, now, Lord, behold their threatenings. And grant unto thy servants that with all boldness they may speak thy word. That's my prayer this morning, friends. By stretching forth thine hand to heal, that signs and wonders may be done by the name of the Holy Child Jesus. And when they had prayed, the place was shaken, where they were assembled together, and they were all filled with the Holy Ghost. And they spake the word of God with boldness. Do you believe that? Let me read this last statement from the message and Ensign, paragraph 19. Brother Brand says, and now many times the way that we stand, we don't disfellowship anyone because of the way they believe, but being Pentecostal and having the Pentecostal experience, I've seen it come in my family, the ones right down to the end of the road. He was talking about his mother in particular, and watched them until their soul went out. Think about this. And I tell you, I'm so glad that I've got that experience of being a Pentecostal experience in me. Not an organization, not a sensation, but Christ. And I just want everyone to have it. Don't miss it. Whatever you do, don't miss the experience. What was the Holy Ghost given for? If you would stand this morning. Friends, I've had people over the years that have kind of not sure, and others, I can't tell you how many prayer lines I've been in where a minister, somebody will come up, they're wanting the Holy Ghost, and the minister will say, well, you got it. And forgive me if this sounds kind of flat, but it's not your business to tell them that. They're the one that needs to know it. So what I tell them is, if you haven't received that life yet, God promised it. And if you take him in his word, he'll give it to you. If you have, ask him to refill you. It's a win-win. You can't lose. But you're the one that has to know that. If he gave you a white stone with a name written that you know, you're the one that needs to know that. And he'll let you know that. Now, we don't have time to cover all the bases here this morning, and we don't intend to, but we know that people can get filled with the Holy Ghost and in an early stage in their life, and you've just been filled so much longer than you haven't been filled. And it becomes, I don't want to say common in the sense that you just take it for granted, but you just don't remember life any other way. And then you go through a phase, you go through a period where, you know, like John the Baptist when he was in the prison, right? And his eagle eye got filmed over. And you can maybe question at that particular time, right? But it's your mind that's questioning. There's an anchor down here in the soul, and it's holding. And it's kept you. And it's keeping you. And we know that Brother Branham dealt with cases like that. You know, Sister Shepherd and blasphemous names. And she wondered if it would hold. And he says, yes, sister. And he saw a vision and what have you. But I guarantee you, she knew what happened when it happened. But you go through things in life. Friends, your head can turn. You can absolutely lose your mind and be filled with the Holy Ghost. What's that? It's not dementia, but it's the other one. See? I ain't confessing that. Old timers. We've personally taken care of sainted, Holy Ghost filled believers that never said a bad word or never was mean or whatever. And we've seen that cruel thing come on them. And we've seen them say things and act in ways that you think, that's not them. Well, it isn't. Their mind is breaking up. Right. And something else will move in and, you know, has access to the flesh and will try to mar their testimony. But down in the soul,
right,
it is well.
Amen.
That's where the anchor's at.
Amen.
No devil from hell can take that, friends. So we know that there are cases where people will question that and spend time with them, as Brother Branham did, and try to encourage and what have you. But in all of those cases, there was a time when they did know. And they still believe down in the soul. Right? Because that anchor's holding. In the soul, you believe. Let me just toss this in real quick since we're way over time. You can be fearful in your mind and not in your soul. And that confuses people. Because they think, well, I thought I was Holy Ghost filled, but I'm afraid. You can be afraid. Tempted with fear. But in the soul, you're not afraid. And you're not moving. And you're anchored. Right? That's just something that's taking place in the flesh. And that power will keep you. Let me give you just a real quick example. When I prayed for years, I wanted to just be in the ministry full time. And I'm led of the Spirit of God ever since this light came across my path. And He talks with me. He leads me. I go where He leads me to go. I do what He leads me to do. I don't make any decisions without seeking Him. And a no is just as good as a yes. I don't care. Just as long as I hear from Him.
Amen.
I just want to know. I trust Him.
Amen.
Whatever He has for me is what's best. So so I had been praying about leaving my job. And I came to this junction and the Lord said, okay, if you want to do that, it's your choice. But here's the way. And as you know, I made that choice. And all hell came against me. In that they didn't want to lose me. So they tried this, they tried that, working on my head. And my head was spinning around like a, I don't know what, like a top. Down in the soul, I was ready to make this change. Down in the soul, I knew that God spoke to me. And I knew that this was the will of the Lord. And I knew the Lord was opening the door for me to do it. But then they said, well, why don't you just tell us what you want to do? Write your own job description, and we'll make that your job. Well, come on, friends. I mean, every argument that I could come up with, they had something to counter it. So in my mind, I'm thinking, well, okay, I'll just write myself a part-time job. right? So I can still be engaged, but I'll make it kind of easy. And I won't do reviews and potty train and change diapers any longer. I'm just going to do the technical stuff, right? But down in my soul, I knew better. Down in my soul, there's no way. I don't care what they say. There's no way I'm going to do that. But the head is spinning. I told my parents, this was in 2009. We were in a recession. Remember, there was a market, there was a real estate crash and all kinds of stuff. My parents, I thought they'd be happy for me. They said, oh, man, you're going to do that in these kind of times? And what are you doing to your family? And so on and so forth. Right? So those things, you're entertaining them in your mind. Right? And the battle is coming into the mind. But down in the soul, it didn't change one iota. I didn't budge one iota. I knew what I was supposed to do, and I did it. But it didn't mean that I wasn't fighting battles up here. Right? So don't think, well, I got filled with the Holy Ghost, so, you know, I won't have any battles. I won't be tempted with fear. I won't be tempted with doubt. Brother Branham, in this message, what is the Holy Ghost? He said, Satan came to me today. And he was trying to tell me that Jesus was just a man, a good man and what have you. But the disciples saw that he was a good man, and they made a god out of him. Can you imagine? Here's a prophet saying, he said, and he's putting these thoughts in my mind. And you think, oh, well, as far as he is in his ministry and all that he's seen, there's no way the devil could tempt him with something like that. He was being tempted, right? And what he did was he went right back to the Word. And he says, well, nah, this was not just a man, you know. This happened and that happened. And the Word says this. And besides, that very same one has come back and he's now living in me. He went on and on and on. He went to the Word and fought that attack on his mind with the Word. And he says, you might as well just get out of here, devil. You came a long way too late. But to hear him admit that, you would think, well, how could that even be a... You see what I'm saying? If you're not careful, you would think, well, because that thought went through my mind, I'm guilty of it. No, that's a temptation. The thought... You're not responsible for the thought. It's a temptation. But then you come against that. Are you with me? This might help somebody. Let's bow our heads for just a moment. Father, I know that we've taken a little extra time here this morning, but Lord, I know that you're moving on hearts. I know there's an expectation and anticipation. And Lord, we know that different ones will have different questions. And you know how to lead us and guide us. You know just what to say and when to say it, how to say it. Lord, I pray that you take these things and quicken them to each and every one, Lord. And those that are hungry and thirsting for life, Lord, you've made them a promise. We believe it. We accept it. We're in anticipation, Lord. We're in expectation. And we thank you, Lord. I believe that you're going to do this thing, but we're looking for you to do these things. We're looking for that faith to drop down. And we're looking for this to become a reality. So I pray that you move upon each and every heart. Lord, I bind every demon of unbelief here this morning. Every spirit that would come and try to point to our past, which is irrelevant. Try to point to, well, you're no good. Well, that's irrelevant. Try to point to our works, our abilities. Well, that's irrelevant. This is all based upon you. This is what you said you would do. And you gave us the prescription, and you told us if we would do this, that you would do that. If we would repent with a heartfelt, a sorrowful repentance, recognizing that we're lost without you, that fallen nature, we couldn't have, even if we'd have tried, we're not just sorry that we didn't live right, we couldn't live right. We were born in sin. We were as all others. We couldn't keep your word because there was another spirit that was ruling over our lives. But Lord, we believe that you've forgiven us, that you've wiped the slate clean. And we believe, Lord, that you've opened the prison doors. Lord, that if we'll allow you to kill that old nature, that there's another nature waiting to be birthed. And there's a spirit hovering, waiting to unite with that, to quicken it, to bring it to life. We know that this is your provided way. We know that this is your word. And Lord, we're in expectation. And Lord, for the rest of us, we're looking for you to refill, Lord, with the waters of life, to refill with your spirit. We need you, Lord. We treasure you. There's nothing that we desire more than your presence in our lives. So, Lord, we're looking for you to fulfill that word in our lives as well. Father, for boldness, for that overcoming power, for power to pray. Lord, power to for a burden for lost souls. All the things that we've been speaking of, that's what the Holy Ghost was given for. We want to surrender, Lord, and just let walk in the Spirit, not in the flesh. We want the Spirit to have preeminence in our lives. We want to surrender our will to you, and that is a choice. We want to say, not my will, but thy will be done. Be it unto me according to thy word, according to thy will. Father, we'll give you all praise and honor and glory. Father, as we go our separate ways this afternoon, I pray, Lord, as we come back this evening, may there be an anticipation. Of course, Lord, we know that we don't have to wait till this evening. We know, Lord, that many times as the word was spoken, people received the Holy Ghost. So we're not trying to tell you how to do it. We know that there's many ways, just like with healing. We could lay hands. We could speak the word. We could agree together in prayer. There's so many promises that we have. We could anoint with oil, knowing that the prayer of faith will save the sick. There's so many different avenues and according to your word. But we're in expectation, Lord. And so, Lord, we're asking that you move upon hearts. Father, that you drive away all doubt, that Lord, any fear, any trepidation. And Lord, if there's anyone if there's anything that remains to be done, Lord, if they're lackadaisical or not pressing like they should to see their life being brought subject to the word, to do that work of sanctification in their lives, if they're resisting at all, Lord, give them the grace to say, Lord, I surrender. I give myself to you. I'm going to do what I know to do, but I believe that you're going to do what you said you're going to do. But I'm going to do what I know to do to keep your word. And then you're going to give me your spirit to live that word. Won't you grant it this morning, Lord? May you minister to each and every heart according to our needs. We're so thankful, Lord, that we can come to you no matter what our needs are, no matter what our situation. And we're thankful this morning, Lord, that you're still fulfilling your word. You're still performing your word. We're thankful for that this morning, Lord. And we're going to thank you ahead of time because we're in expectation, Lord. You wouldn't put something on our heart to preach and then have it return into you void, but your word will accomplish what it was sent to do. You put it on our heart, Lord, so it will be performed, and we're thankful for that this morning, Lord. So bless each and every one. We love you and we thank you now. In Jesus Christ's name we pray. Amen. Amen. Blessed be his wonderful name. Something keeps holding me every day I see. Helping me faithfully to overcome my trials, guiding me constantly, giving me victory. He's a reality. Something keeps holding me. The trials of this world, we're getting closer. The pull I felt was more than I could dare. I was on the verge of giving over. strength within myself just wasn't there.